If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Hello, everybody. So this is quite interesting, right? In 2021, the United Nations and a bunch of countries actually met. Okay, that's a very weird statement. But yeah, the United Nations met. And inside that pact, inside that meeting, they decided to sign a pact to protect the rights of the citizens on the internet. But guess what? A bunch of African countries signed that pact, but broke that promise. Nigeria in 2021 decided to ban Twitter. And a lot of African countries, Sudan, for instance, have shut down the internet several times. Now, what am I trying to say is African governments say one thing, but then go on to do something entirely different. So if you find that citizens find it difficult to trust, the government, these are the issues we're talking about. So Nigeria today this is the first podcast in the era of a new dispensation, a new president, President Bola Ahmed Tinubu. Yeah, it's quite interesting that the very, very first thing we have to be dealing with is subsidy removal. And Chingozirim and Bolu, we've been talking about this before we started this podcast. Subsidy is supposed to, that is the promise of subsidy removal. Subsidy is supposed to release money. To block pockets of corruption in Nigeria's petroleum industry.
It's not doing that.
No, nothing has happened yet. So the idea is, okay, they're removing subsidy, right?
Okay.
That promise of subsidy removal, that is my concern. Because at the end of the day, I was talking with my friend this morning, like, see, is it that if you don't agree to this subsidy removal, you are not smart? Because for me, I know, yeah, yes, subsidy removal is supposed to bring a lot of benefits to the country, but
so I mean, if it was a phased removal, maybe gradually, it would have been a better option. But what the experts,
just ripping off the bandage.
Exactly. I mean, some people claim that is it. Of course, a lot has been said about the style of communication. I basically threw everybody into a frenzy. But what the experts claim is that it was necessary. But like you said, like we were saying before we started recording, it's one thing to say you're removing subsidy. But as you have come to know in Nigeria, what is said is not always what happens. So we can't always know that. I mean, yes, there was an announcement that there will be no subsidy, which, to be fair, it's not a policy that he came up with on his own. Buhari or the former president had already told us that this was going to happen. I think it was supposed to take effect in June. So it's not like it was solely his doing. So it was something that was already in the works. But, I mean, well, I guess we just have to watch and see.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I think it's a very big issue. Right, the whole issue of subsidy, right? So the idea is some people are benefiting from this.
Yeah.
They are collecting the subsidy money and funneling fuel outside the country. So fuel is scarce in Nigeria, subsidy or no subsidy, right? But my concern is, okay, now that you freed this money, is there any measure of accountability to show that, okay, this is what you use the money for? Because in Nigeria, people like me and you, they come to harass us if we don't pay our taxes. But is there any measure to harass the government if they don't do what they're supposed to do with the taxes? That's my only concern. But not my only concern. How is it going to affect? So we're a tech publication. So let's come on.
How it affects us.
How it affects us, right? So I'm thinking two things. Productivity and ride-hailing and logistics. So things that directly
Is that even the only thing? You know, in Nigeria, when the price of either when the price of dollar increases, even the pepper seller tells you that
it's costing
in dollars. So I'm wondering, how far would my fintech app start charging me more? They'll tell you that there's no fuel.
No.
There's justification. If
please,
they do that,
let's know what
it can be justified.
You justify increase.
So tech coins can increase price of brand.
Yes,
price
yes,
because
you can.
Of fuel.
Yes,
it doesn't directly affect our business, does it? It does.
It does. It
power
does.
Costs.
Cause the cost of power.
Yes, cost of power. Cost of transportation.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you have workers that have to transport themselves.
Event coverage definitely has to get more expensive.
Oh, event coverage. Yes. Uber. Oh my God.
So
Uber to and fro.
It will affect everything, and I think there's going to be a short term. Inflation spike because
are you sure it's going to be short term?
I mean, if they do this right, it should be short term.
So this is the thing. These policies are good policies, right? Even if you look at some of the policies that CBN governor introduced during the last term, on paper they're actually good policies. But this is Nigeria.
Implementation is actually where policy like. Implementation is actually easy for you to gather a group of really smart individuals and come up with a document. But the document is as useless as anything until you actually implement it. And Nigerians frequently say this, that we don't have a lack of laws, we just have an absence of, what do you call it now, implementation. So that's where
what we have now is a bunch of strategists,
yes,
but no executors.
Basically, McKinsey guys who have never gotten their hands dirty or who will not execute.
Don't let that. That's a big five consulting, please. Now, it's Bolu. You've been doing some research. Has ride-hailing prices increased during this time?
Yes, they have, but not for the not directly. Because fuel prices have increased, it has increased. So it's not like Bolt saw that, in Nigeria, fuel is now 500 naira per liter, let's increase prices. What actually happened when I spoke to a couple of drivers is that this is what happens. This is what actually happened. So there was fuel scarcity, I think, when they first announced the subsidy removal thing. Yes. So a lot of cars were either not moving or they were on fuel queues. So once this happens, right, boat and, you know, ride-hailing platforms, what they do is, you guys are not driving. Why are you guys not driving? So what they do is they implement something called a surge, right? So it's a way to, like, encourage drivers to go out. So when you see that, normally when you take Bega to Ikeja, say it's 1.5, and then boats has implemented a surge. The surge is really from 1.1 to 1.9. So there's this 1.5 surge. And then Bega to Ikeja, that is really 1.5, has now gone to, like, 3K. Drivers will be like, let me go and make some cool money. So I have to less trips, more money. So drivers go out, and then they bring the surge back down. So that's the reason why. So can we say it's because of the fuel scarcity? So it's caused by the fuel scarcity. Drivers are not going out because of the fuel scarcity. They are not going out because fuel is now more expensive, right? And then for that reason, both increased prices, right? So it's not because, but I asked the drivers, will these platforms eventually increase prices? And they said yes, because I said, is it something that will just come up, or you people have to protest and cry and shout? And they're like, no, they don't have to do all that, because I think they've done that in the past. And I think those guys listen faster now. They have people on ground and they said, when prices increase, they usually get an email to let them know, per minute we have increased to 5 naira, 6 naira. So we'll know. So that's what's happening right now. It's not, I saw a lot of people online on Twitter saying, they've increased. It's the surge right now. So they've not increased
officially. If they increase officially, we will know.
Yeah.
Okay, we will see something. So what of logistics services? So I'm hearing that they are going to increase their prices, but is there an interesting way? I think logistics services might find a way to manage it better than the ride hailing guys.
Yes, so I spoke to one person who said, she runs a business that kind of depends on the logistics, on a delivery guy, and what she had to do is restrict the areas. So before now, the problem was you can't even get the fuel, or you have to stay on long queues. So she had to restrict the areas that she was delivering to. So maybe very, very close, so that you don't get stranded on the road.
Yeah.
But she's also saying that there has been, she has slightly increased her prices, but it's too early to tell if customers, because one of the things I was asking was, so you know how, let's say Uber increases their price, customers say, oh, this is too much, can we actually pay it? And then Uber has now, maybe there's this back and forth. You won't have it with Uber, but with a small business that does this, if I discover that the cost of delivery goes from 1.5 to maybe 3,000, I'm going to ask you why. And it could be a
delivering fridge.
Yeah, exactly. Like, why is it this expensive? And we know that Nigerians are very price sensitive people. So it's something that the big guys may not really face it a lot, because let's think about it. If I'm Uber and I increase your price, who do you want to complain to? How many emails do you want to how many emails do you want to send? But if I'm a business that maybe I sell food, and you say you can't use me, immediately you cancel the order and you go, right? And then I probably don't even have a very large customer base. So over time, it multiplies. And then these guys, I don't know, it's too early to say, but right now you can see that the cost of delivery is higher. And you are saying that it may be easier. I mean, if they were using, if they were using bicycles, they may be able to get around.
So Jumia Food uses bicycles.
Yes. But that now they means do? They will have to do. Yeah, I've seen a few. I think even Glovo.
Glovo does. Seen a few.
So problem now is they have to be.
It has to be hyper-local.
You can't do island to.
I just got an idea.
Oh, you want to start a business?
No. Not even a business. Not a business idea. But don't even talk about it. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag.
But you can't do island to mainland for deliveries anymore. So it means it's going to be super hyper local, and they may have to do some reconfigurations on the back end to make it easier. Something else I'm now thinking about is hearing about electric vehicles, or maybe
electric bikes.
Could this be something that accelerates their use just in that space?
That hyper local, because I'm not sure. Okay, to my knowledge, I'm not sure I've seen any long-distance electric bikes yet in Nigeria.
No,
so maybe something that can move around Ikeja, something that can move from Ikeja to Bega, tops. Maybe you might have some that might move like as far as Ibadan, but that's expensive, very expensive. So yeah, it's actually not a bad idea, but let's move away from the subsidy and ride-hailing stuff. I'm sure there are a lot of issues to flog over there. We actually flogged a lot with this ride-hailing with vehicle impounding. So if for context, the Uber has a vehicle financing partner in Nigeria called Move, and they've been offering drivers a drive-to-home scheme, and there are issues around that right now. I think you should be checking the video. Should be somewhere where my hand is on me. So yeah, that's for that. But let's move to Patricia. Okay, so if you want to know what Patricia is, there's this video, a very, very viral video that some of you even might not know is it's a TechPoint video, but it's actually a TechPoint video. TechPoint did that interview with Anu Fejiro of Patricia, the CEO of Patricia. But now we're hearing that Patricia was breached and they lost a lot of money. So I want to say $2 million, but your face is looking like money is more than that.
All right. So let me just say the story. And Patricia was, we heard Patricia announced they sent emails to users. They also posted on Twitter that they were breached and withdrawals would need to be, withdrawals will be held for some time. You won't be able to withdraw for some time because of the security breach, so that they can trace things. You know, once there's a breach, once money goes out, you'll be able to trace, okay, this went here, this went there, so that before it spreads. So they are freezing withdrawals till they are able to do that. And yeah, we're able to get some insider gist.
That's the surface story.
We're able to get some insider gist that they're actually able to narrow down the syndicate group that.
So it's a syndicate group.
Yes, that did the breach.
I love me a mystery.
Yeah, that was responsible for the breach, and they were able to trace them via the. They lost bitcoins and they made away with bitcoins and naira, but they were able to identify an individual via tracing the naira. And they said, you know, since they found one person, it's only a matter of time before they find
the other people.
Everybody else. And, you know, a lot of customers are, you know, they are not happy, right? I think I saw someone's comment that said, okay, I think was supposed to give someone money for their wedding. Their wedding was on Saturday. When? Yeah, so on Saturday. I think that's the media announcement of Friday. Mm-hmm. Person's wedding was on Saturday and the person was like, you know, raining causes and things like that. And I'm like, hey.
It's not crypto.
Hmm?
Crypto.
Yes.
They stock wedding money. Wedding money.
No.
It's not like, oh, you want to invest in the next flutter wave of
paper. I mean, you also take out of
I mean people use no. People use crypto for different things, right? I know it's not mainstream. It is
but
not.
But what if you now wake up in the night and realize that the one Bitcoin you had is not like 0.25?
No, if you know you are going to, if you are not investing, you hold your money as stable coins now. You won't hold your money as Bitcoin. So people use crypto for different things, right? And it's possible that your wedding money is in Patricia. It's not on Edo.
It's not on Edo. Okay. Yeah, I'm not hearing it for the first time.
It's possible. It's actually possible, right? So no, that is the issue with Patricia. But then we saw there was a story from Tech about that the amount of money that was actually lost is 2 million, and then it happened in 2022, and you know sources told them that it was $2 million, and if you look at this amount of money, it's kind of similar to some other breaches that we've seen before. So it now begs the question, could it be that it is this one syndicate group that is entering everybody's account? Because, I mean, if you look at the Flutterwave bridge, right, it had some crypto elements. Flutterwave is not a crypto company, but there were crypto elements within that story. Yeah. Because when we spoke to the people whose accounts were frozen, because Flutterwave said the money that was stolen from us, so it went to your account. Those guys were crypto traders. Those guys got paid by somebody who bought crypto from them, and the person sent the money from Flutterwave. So matters are arising, right? Things are, you know, becoming clearer, and you know, we don't want to say too much.
You have some gist that you want to tell us.
Yes, but. For the, you know, to help investigations.
Okay, so follow Bolo on Twitter.
Yeah.
So follow Bolo on Twitter. You are going to see the story on this. Follow me on LinkedIn. You're going to see the story on my LinkedIn. Follow Chingo, where did they follow you?
Man, don't follow me no.
Okay, so yeah, fintechs are seeing what the Nigerians call shege. Mm-hmm. Shege is to use
suffering.
An English term, unprecedented levels of suffering and shaking. Yes. So, okay. Now, in the midst of all of this, MultiChoice, arguably Africa's biggest multimedia giant. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think there's a media company bigger in Africa than MultiChoice.
They have one of, okay, let's just go with one of the biggest.
No.
Okay.
I'm going to hear that. No, not die. I won't die in Jesus' name. Well, amen. I'm going to sit down this hill.
Okay.
Until anybody mentions a bigger multimedia company that's bigger than MultiChoice. Media or not media that has pivoted to newspaper. No. Not media that pivoted to investment. I'm talking about NASPAS here.
Yeah.
Media, like doing media. Proper media. So, but we want to hear, we are hearing that they're entering the fintech space. And the question I'm asking is why?
Okay. So, They are getting into the fintech space with a product called Moment. Interesting choice of name. But
Africa's Moment is here.
Interesting. Interesting.
That's the advertising language I saw online
yesterday. The marketing team.
I see. Africa's Moment. So, yes, why? why there's a why that they are giving us, and then there's the obvious why. So I'll start with the obvious why, which is that.
Why not start with the why they are giving us?
Okay, let's start with the why they are giving us. So the CEO of MultiChoice says that right now they process about 22 million payments monthly across all their markets. And this comes to about $3.5 billion annually. So that's huge. And for them to do this, they have to work. They work with payment partners. I know that they use InterSwitch or QuickTeller and Verve Card. So they process both QuickTeller payments, Verve Cards. I know they also have a payment option on Showmax for it. You can use MTN Airtime to pay. And there's something they call a Showmax voucher. So that's for Nigeria. Their payment partners will differ across the markets they operate in. So they are seeing an opportunity there that if you are processing this amount of payments every month, then we can tap into it and get a share of it, which is why they are doing this. They are doing it in partnership with Rapid. Rapid is an Israeli fintech unicorn, and General Catalyst, who also invested in Stripe, Canva, Airbnb, Monzo, and also Rapid as well. So that's the official reason from the company. So we have this large market, 22 million households who make payments monthly, and we want to help them process that payment. But here's the thing too, they're not just stopping at processing payments. They want to provide them with savings products. They want to provide them with they say manage your money better. So I'm going to guess as budgeting, expense management, and stuff like that. So that is the why that the company is giving.
Okay, so before you go to the obvious reason, just imagine for a moment. You don't have to respond though.
Okay.
But imagine being able to send money with your DSTV to another DSTV user, anywhere they are.
I mean, I would have been excited if I had DSTV.
Yeah. Don't you have DSTV now?
It's not my own.
You're using
continue.
Yeah. Okay. So that's actually a very good point. Something else that they mentioned, which got me really interested and very curious, is they are targeting the 350 million unbanked and underbanked people in Africa. Of course, that's a cliche in these parts of the world where everybody is banking the unbanked and underbanked. But I'm wondering, you are offering a digital service and you want to offer it to the banked and underbanked. Could it mean that you want to, what's the scope of this, right? Yes, it's easy to say you want to bank the, or help. Okay, they didn't say bank, sorry. They said make digital financial services more accessible
to these
guys. Yeah. So there's a lot to... not a lot to unpack, but anytime that a new player who is experienced in a different sector is trying to get into somewhere else, I'm usually wondering. So first thing I ask myself is, what are you seeing here that others are not seeing? Why are you getting into this place? Secondly, you don't have domain authority or domain knowledge. So how are you going to work around all the challenges that come with building a new business? The other thing would be that this comes with different challenges. So the MultiChoice group has had certain challenges with either subscriber numbers dwindling. They are taking on Netflix, Amazon Prime in the internet. What do you call it? Taking in the streaming, over the top services. So those are different markets. Would you be spreading yourself too thin? Of course, if you're doing this, getting into payments, you have 22 million households, 3.5 billion. So let's just say they are able to have 10% of your customers process those payments. They could make a good enough amount of money from all of those payments that they are processing. They are doing it with Rapid. So these guys have a presence in, 100 plus countries. So they are coming with that experience of operating, and they are like very, very experienced. So they are coming with that experience. They're also coming with what we hope will be General Catalyst firepower in terms of funding. Mm-hmm. So they should be covered in these two. Of course, there's regulations that will come up. You're operating, because it's one thing to offer entertainment services in several countries. It's another thing for you to now offer financial services in all these other countries. Different regulations apply in different places. So how they are going to pull that off, I think off the top of my head, now, right now they have like a solid foundation to start with. But I'm still not too...
Not too convinced about your prospects. Mm.
Yeah, because I do not really care about the payment provider that I use, for example. If I go to your website and you tell me pay with Paystack or pay with Flutterwave, I just go with the person that I've used a lot more, right? Mm. So if you offer me a third option, except these other two guys are not working, how do I switch to you? So are you going to eliminate the other options that users typically have and maybe offer one or two payment options?
Okay. I hear you.
They could actually make, I don't have the facts, but I think their banking, the unbanked thing could
work.
Yeah, they could actually do it, yes. Okay. So I don't have the numbers when it comes to their users that live
in rural areas.
Okay. So because those people, right, when they pay, they really don't mind walking to a DSTV. They have them around, right? Mm. All those DSTV offices with their cash, they pay, they write their number inside. Even in advanced communities, some people do that, right? Mm. So they might actually be onto something. They come and they tell them, oh, instead of you carrying this cash around, we have this new platform where we can just onboard you. You already know this. It's just for you to take some additional information. Right. This also depends on the country where you are. So,
yes.
Since it's as if they already have like an existing banking network already.
Not it's this so. Kind of. Can they even rival anyone in any of the countries?
No, they can't. They can't. But I think that's a good place to start.
It's a good starting point.
There's also something else I discovered that a significant amount of people in developing economies, they have access to digital financial services, but they make majority of their payments in cash. So there was this 2017 study where they tried to see if they could make Ugandan farmers use mobile money. It worked. They could use mobile money. It was cheaper, but it wasn't cheaper. So
fed cash.
No, they didn't mind paying with mobile money. But the problem was that they were limited use cases. So it's one thing for me to say, oh, okay, fine, I can pay with mobile money or with a bank transfer. It's another thing for me to find someone who is willing to accept it.
Okay.
So something we saw with the cash, you were willing to do it, but you go to the market and the person is telling you, I'm not taking transfers.
Yeah.
So now you have to do a lot of
re-education.
And people have been doing this for years. And they are still struggling. So it's why, while I see the potential, I also don't see the potential. So maybe they would be able to crack it. I mean, you never can tell. But I was listening to Money Point CEO this morning, and he said, well, you need to work hard, but you also need time and chance to be in your favor if it's going to work. So maybe time and chance will be in their favor.
All right. No problem. good luck to MultiChoice and Moment. But I'm even thinking about this differently. All these things people are saying, I'm thinking about it differently.
Please share.
I'm not going to share anything. But me, I'm not interested in MultiChoice. I'm interested in Rapid.
Okay.
That is all I'm going to say. I'm more interested in Rapid than I'm interested in MultiChoice. Because we are thinking MultiChoice is using Rapid. But I think Rapid is using MultiChoice. That is my theory. So yeah, let's leave it like that. So yeah, guys, thank you for joining the podcast. And we hope you enjoyed the interesting stories we talked about here today. Yes, I'm calling it interesting. So let us know if you find that label correct. But yeah, we talked about subsidy. Let us know what you think. How has it affected you? Has it increased your Uber prices or your boat prices? And we also talked about Patricia Bridge. If you've been affected, let us know. And if you have any tips to share of what's going on there, you can always email Bolu at tech.africa. And MultiChoice Moment. Yes, MultiChoice is big multimedia giants. They've become really, really big. But yeah, let me know what else you might be thinking. Maybe I might not be seeing what their game is up to yet. I don't see it yet. Jingo Zin says he sees the potential and he also doesn't see the potential. But yeah, farewell to him. And the video for Lagos Startup Expo, that video encapsulates everything the Lagos Startup Expo was about. It shows how we defied the odds to make that event happen. Like, I don't think any event like that has happened in the West African market or Sub-Saharan Africa. I'm going to...
You guys in the tech space.
Yeah, tech space. An event in a startup or tech space has happened like that. So, yeah, watch that video. We'll be linking to it. And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletters, FinTech Today, where you're going to be seeing more of multi-choice moments. And you're going to be talking with Ifemi to explore the future of work, how this whole subsidy thing, you guys start pushing agenda for remote work or something. Yeah, so... Okay guys, so thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and if you're watching us, you know, if you are listening to us on any of our channels, you know where to find us. Bolu?
Yes, you can always find us on Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, Hat Radio, and anywhere else you get your podcast.
All right people, bye-bye.
Bye.